coming in on 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
Popped right off.
On its own?
Yeah.
Interesting. Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast on adult beverages. I'm your host, Knox, and with me today is Big Earn. Got nothing for you. Sorry.
Oh, okay. It just popped right off. It just popped right off. I'm here. Yeah. Pretty excited to be here. Just excited. Yeah, it did. It, seriously, I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, sorry, Chris's mother. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's going to be a good day.
Excellent. And with us as well as Chris?
You can call me Colostomy Bag because I can handle my shit.
That's great.
Colossin.
That's awesome.
Isn't that a pickle?
Yeah, that's a Colossin.
Oh, right.
Yeah. you dill.
Oh, weed.
And with us also from Bismarck, we got Nick Hornbacher. How you
hey,
doing,
everybody.
Nick?
Pretty good. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
Don't really got much.
You got nothing either, huh?
Well, thanks for listening.
Yep.
It's been a time.
If this glasses be full.
If this is how the episode's going to go, yeah, let's just wash our hands of it.
Well, so I first met Nick when we did the Bismarck Brewing Takeover,
yes.
Which will be episode number 139, which isn't out yet, but will be by the time you hear this. And I just remember because we were talking, and then, of course, then we had to go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the job.
Yep. So as we were sampling, my aunt and my cousin.
Rephrase that. We were not sampling your aunt.
Oh, while we were sampling. I'm sorry. The beers. My cousin and my aunt were there to meet us, you know, and support because they found out we were going to be there. So they had already had a beer by the time we got there. And of course we had to go to work as I was saying. And, Nick, I just went over there and started talking to my aunt and my cousin and sitting over there talking for like a good half an hour.
Yep.
I'm like, ooh, Nick's getting kind of comfortable there with my aunt. She's available.
I didn't want to be the creepy guy in the corner drinking beer, just all alone
staring at her.
Yeah.
So you had to go over and talk to her.
He was ogling me and he goes, this is weird. I'm not going to ogle Chris anymore.
Yeah, alcohol.
That definitely didn't happen.
I'm just arrogant.
So if you want my aunt's phone number, just let me know.
We'll do.
And yeah, and I guess we know, just, you know, we only know you really through the internet.
Yeah, good old Facebook.
Dating apps. Or, yeah, Facebook, that's what it was.
Same thing.
I thought it was Plenty of Fish. Plenty of Bourbon.
Plenty of Bourbon.
I think it was. But no, you are an admin on...
Yeah, North Dakota Bourbon Drinkers Facebook group. So if you're listening to this episode and you want to connect with people around you in North Dakota, give it a like, give it a follow, jump on in.
Yeah, man. That's how...
Take your shirt
off. That's how we kind of got to know each other, though, just on the internet and gabbing. So you know, you run a bourbon page. We should... so we've thought, hey, let's try and talk about the North Dakota Bourbon page and let's talk with somebody who knows bourbons and likes bourbons. So that's what we did.
And here we are, because specifically for bourbons today, we are going over the Buffalo Trace Mash Bill number 1. And so we have 6 varieties of bourbons today. Well, one of them is not really a bourbon. Let's just call them all whiskeys for now, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Every one of these is a whiskey, but not all of them is a bourbon. So what we wanted to do is we want to take it back to the very start, right? So what comes out of the stills? And that's that White Dog mash number 1.
Yeah, so Buffalo Trace has, what, 4 primary mash bills that they use. Mash bill 1, mash bill 2. Oh, both cleverly named. They have their wheated mash bill and then their rye mash bill. And so mash bill 1 would be considered their lower rye. You can't find out exactly what the mash bill is. They don't take it. They kind of hold it close to their vest. But people assume then that this mash bill is going to be in that 10% or lower rye, where mash bill 2 is going to be higher than that, 12 or 15% rye. So we wanted to do this one because a lot of people's like intros to bourbons have been Buffalo Trace or Eagle Rare or something like that, and they're all Mash Bill 1. So, yes, we've got Mash Bill 1, the White Dog, unaged, and then...
We got the Benchmark.
Benchmark, old number eight.
It's like a dollar for two barrels. This dirt cheap entry stuff. So Benchmark, Buffalo Trace, we have Eagle Rare, and we got Colonel Taylor, and Stagg Jr.
We got the Single Barrel Select Store Pick Buffalo Trace from Bottle Barn. Edition 8, Single Barrel Select.
Cool.
So getting into this White Dog Mash number 1. So in Kentucky, Buffalo carved a pathway followed by America's first explorers. These brave pioneers distilled whiskey using traditional methods and drank it right off of the still. They called it White Dog. This raw distillate was clear, unaged, and had a hint of sweet corn. Later, distillers discovered this spirit was perfect for aging, creating what we know today as fine Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. We're still making whiskey on the spot where ancient buffalo once crossed the Kentucky River, and following centuries of time-honored distilling traditions. Enjoy this White Dog the way Americans did more than 200 years ago.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I wasn't paying attention.
Americans 200 years ago were drinking garbage. This is obviously
62.5%.
Obviously unaged, right? That's what you know.
Corn, rye, and malted barley recipe, 62.5% alcohol by volume.
It
smells sweet.
Yeah.
Very.
Well,
it smells. And then I'm like, when you said sweet corn, I'm like, kind of like sweet corn with a little bit of butter on it, but not enough butter. It needs a little bit more butter, but it's getting there.
I don't know if we know the answer to this. How long have they been bottling this? Is it more of a recent thing with their how much Buffalo Trace has gotten super popular?
I think I personally, at least from what I remember, first saw it last year sometime.
Yeah. It seems recent.
Yeah.
But as soon as we bought that little tiny bourbon that's charred on the inside to take some White Dog and make it into a bourbon or whiskey, I've seen that too. Just ever since Ernie bought that for the podcast.
Yeah.
Studio.
Butterscotch.
Really?
Smells like something I would like, actually.
So it's got sweet aroma with a slight burn. The corn coats the tongue with oil and vanilla.
I definitely get corn and hot heat.
It's hot. A lot of ethanol. Yeah.
Put some of this in my gas can in the wintertime.
It does look like water. It would work. I like it.
All right. Oh, this is going to burn, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. You're going to start on fire. Spontaneously combust.
Whoosh.
Oh.
Whoosh.
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 I can't breathe. It's got a slight burn to it.
It's aggressive.
But then it kind of mellows out a little bit at the end, and then you get some of that vanilla.
Yeah, it really...
And then it still kind of burns your throat as it goes down, but it's...
It's not as rubbing alcohol-y as I thought it would be. I mean, it's obviously there, right? It's right up there with rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
But, there is more flavor to it than I anticipated.
There's a weird aftertaste at the very end. Like...
Tastes like
several
butthole.
Seconds.
But you went down too far.
Okay. Went down the wrong pipe. How many pipes do you got? I don't know, but it went down the wrong one.
I'm just a four banger.
Oh, yeah. I do that. Just really dries out the way back of your throat.
What's nice, though, is I do get that oiliness across the tongue, and it is super sweet and super corn. Those are the positives. Negatives are is
everything else.
It's
quite possibly.
It's super aggressive. Well, like you said.
Oh, no, wait. I want to open that one up live on the air.
Hear that plastic crack?
Yep.
Dude, it's going to sound like my knees when I crouch down. Just
I know, dude. You really need to go to the doctor.
Dude. You see? Put my knee cracking on live on air.
Welcome to my world. Welcome to the world of getting knee injections.
So I guess one thing probably to at least think about is... If this is younger, maybe they're not releasing this as something that is supposed to be enjoyed at the level of like Eagle Rare. It's for the people who are interested in what it tastes like to begin with.
Right. I think that's also why it comes in this really little dainty bottle.
Yeah.
As well, right? What is it, a 275?
375.
375? Yeah. So, I mean, Yeah, this is, if you want to know what it tastes like before it gets good.
And so many people are fascinated by the fact that the same liquid goes into Buffalo Trace that goes into E.H. Taylor. That
right.
becomes Eagle Rare, and this is kind of the way to kick it off to begin with. It's more of a fun factor than an enjoyment factor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This isn't something like, we're going to make some fucking T-bones and sit down with some white dog.
No. Not happening.
No shit.
This is total curiosity.
Or you're hanging out with your friends.
1897, maybe.
You're hanging out with your friends building a derby car or some shit, and you're just being an asshole to everybody like, this is all I have to drink.
Would adding water make it any better? Let's find out.
It would make it, liquidier.
Yeah. Not a whole lot. I said it's maybe a little better, but I think it gives it a weirder aftertaste at the end.
It's got more of that grainy flavor. Like you can just like chew the stuff off the field, put it up to your mouth, and chew on the grains.
You're trying
right
to eat Indian corn.
Yeah.
Well, I saw what Chris did to start. He like pulled it on his hands. If you smell it that way, it smells really pleasant. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
He washed his hands before we started.
I saw that trick watching some documentary.
The Hulu one. And it was
the Buffalo Trace guy, I believe, that was doing it too. You know, spill some on your hands, clap and rub, and then it takes a lot of that alcoholiness away. So you get real smells.
If anybody wants to watch the documentary, it's called Neat. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Freddie Johnson, I believe, is the guy.
Yeah, that's the guy. I was looking up. I couldn't remember his first name. Freddie Johnson. Yeah, that guy's a fucking...
He seems like a really cool guy to run into. I saw somebody post on a national Facebook group that they were taking a picture outside of the distillery, and then Freddie Johnson walks by, and they're like, oh, no, we need to get you a better picture. Takes him up into the barrel room, gives him a personal tour.
Oh, really?
Super cool.
Dude. Yeah, he seemed like a really cool guy.
Awesome guy.
That's what I like about alcohol. Everybody seems nice. Until you've had too much alcohol.
I wonder if that's what they
say. I was
going
to say
you.
Nobody's crabby when they're drinking, and then I didn't say it for that reason. Right. I was like, it depends on how much you're drinking, right?
When you're 12 deep, these fucking dicks.
So what are we going to rate this one? Who wants to start it out?
Well, I don't think we rate this one. It is what it is. It's White Dog.
Why?
What do you compare it to?
I like that. Yeah, I don't know if it's fair to rate it.
All right, let's move on to...
nobody wants to
fuck rate it. Nobody wants to rate this one.
Yeah, we're not going to rate
it. It is so bad.
Because it's not a bourbon. It's, you know, it's
that's,
just...
That's what I was going to ask. That's not considered a bourbon. It's just...
No, aged. The bottle says whiskey.
Unaged whiskey. Yeah, it's whiskey.
Because whiskey doesn't have to be aged, but bourbon... Yeah. I mean, you can age it for 4 seconds and still call it bourbon.
I thought it was 2 years.
I think that's
minimum
straight,
of 2 years to call it.
But please
bourbon.
Don't be a dick.
it's whiskey.
Here I am, a guest coming on the show, be like, hey, this is other it's,
way. No, if you know something.
I think so. People argue about it all of the time. I believe that the rules for bourbon just say that it has to be aged in an oak container.
Because
there's a bourbon that's 8 second bourbon. They literally age it for 8 seconds, and it's a marketing gimmick, and they can still call it bourbon.
Okay, so straight bourbon then is two years.
And
then
so if it's a straight bourbon whiskey, that's 2 years. Okay. Four if it's bottled in bond at 100 proof and all the other things.
Right.
Must be made in the U.S. Aging must take place in a new charred oak barrel. The mash must be at least 51% corn.
Got mash mouth.
For this to be bourbon, whiskey can enter the barrel at higher than 125 proof.
Which is what the White Dog is at 125.
And nothing can be added but water and only to lessen the proof when necessary.
Huh.
So it says aging must take place.
But not for a certain amount of time. That's the catch on that. You can pour it in the barrel and pour it out. Call it bourbon.
That is interesting.
I'm going to open up this next bottle.
Yep. This is the benchmark.
I think I saw it a little down that they said something about if it was straight bourbon, it had to be a certain amount.
One of those things on the top.
And feel free to pour the do a Russo pour and fill it all the way up because we got plenty
that
of this shit.
Crazy. Yeah, there you go. Bourbon has no minimum specified duration for its aging period.
Products age for as little as 3 months are sold as bourbon.
Okay, yep, there it is.
The exception is straight bourbon.
2 years. Which,
yeah, minimum age requirements. See, I thought in order for it to be bourbon at all, period, it had to be 2 years. But I was proven wrong today by Mr. Nick Hornbacher himself.
My apologies, or you're welcome, not sure.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thank you.
All right.
Oh, the plastic crack has that stupid fucking nozzle on it, too.
That's to keep you from binge drinking.
Fail.
Yeah. Just pull it off with your teeth and chug away. So we're going to enjoy this straight from the bottle like it's meant to be.
Oh, shit. I got the neck pour.
Wrapped in a paper bag.
Should we talk about how the neck pour is a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no way. It can't be. It's liquid. It moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're saying that it needs to oxidize a little bit. So when it's not oxidized at all, it just stores all the ethanol right there. And
But as soon as you pick up that bottle, it swishes around, right? And mixes in?
Yeah.
As soon as you pick up the bottle.
Okay, what part, when you pour it, is it pouring from the top, the bottom, the middle, the sides?
That's how gravity
works. What liquid are you doing?
It mixes immediately.
I mean, how much does it really separate? What really separates
it?
It
doesn't.
But what is it? What is separating? That's my question.
Yeah, what separates that makes the neck pour? Is it just because that there's supposed to be an addition of oxygen that allows
the... Do you really think the people that are selling you bourbon don't know how the fuck it works? Like, yeah. We should put this in a bottle. Yeah, but what about the neck? And they're like, oh, we got to discuss this. And like, fuck, what are you talking about?
It'll be just a stub bottle.
It's liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah, the neck pour is a myth. It's bullshit.
All right, so about this...
Well, we scienced the fuck out of that.
Yep, we scienced it. So
no more Facebook debates over this. Yeah. It's done.
I'm glad we could settle a discussion here.
All right, so benchmark. In 1773, three McAfee brothers named James, George, and Robert left Virginia westward to explore the uncharted territory that would later become known as Kentucky. Traveling by canoe at first, the McAfee Company eventually followed a native trail overland that led to the Great Buffalo Crossing, where the brothers surveyed the land now home to the world's most award-winning distillery, Buffalo Trace Distillery.
It's Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yep.
Okay. The surveyor...
Buffalo.
The surveyor marks left behind are known as benchmarks, and this bourbon whiskey honors the pioneering spirits of these early American explorers.
All right, let's
say so they're admitting it that it's just a basic bourbon.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. This is
just like all these bitches in North Dakota. They're all basic.
Basic bitches.
This is very bottom shelf. That's why we got the big plastic 175 jug for 13 nickels or something like that. I'm not sure how much it was, but.
And some
I think it was
fur.
Like, I think it was $20 for a 175.
For a 175.
Yeah. So,
so what do you think would taste better?
That's going to be allocated, though.
What do you think is going to be better, benchmark or Evan Williams?
Evan Williams.
Oh, Evan Williams.
Not the bottle and the bond, but just the
Evan Williams.
Black label we're talking?
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Just let's fucking do this. Quit.
All right.
Stay on track.
Benchmark, old number eight.
This is mash bill number one. Got it.
Oh. Ouch. I put my nose in it too fast. I got burned.
Obviously, not I don't know as if much I'm, astringency.
I don't know if I'm smelling this Bush Light apple in front of me or if I'm getting apple notes.
No, apple fruits. Yeah, yeah. It's there.
Orchard fruits.
I'm surprised by the nose on this.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I thought this was just going to be fucking black velvet and that little boy's smile or something.
Yeah, I get... A little more vanilla at the end there.
A little more vanilla?
Because this is cut to 80 proof, right? It's got to be.
Yes, 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get caramel and orchard, some vanilla. But it is pretty hot in the spice, even though it's only 80 proof.
So this is Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. So then this has to be 2 years old.
At least.
Minimum.
Yep.
And then it's a sour mash.
So what makes it a sour mash?
The process. They reused grains, right? Grains that have been used, I think, something like that. We should look it up.
Mixture of grain, malt, and water is conditioned with some amounts of spent mash, previously fermented mash, that still contains dead yeast.
Bingo.
A good food source for live yeast. The acid introduced by the sour mash controls the growth of bacteria that could taint the bourbon.
There you go.
Did you just say yeast are cannibals?
Sure. Yes.
Actually, they're necrophiliacs, right? Necrophiliac cannibals.
They
eat their own dead.
They eat and fuck their own dead?
Well, I mean, you got it.
I don't think they're reproducing. They're just feeding off the dead stuff.
So there.
So we'll stop at a cannibals, probably.
All right.
Wow. It's got that different sour mash kind of flavor to it where it's, I don't know how to describe it. Like almost like it is sour-y note. There's a sour note to it. Is that weird?
I don't get that, but it's sweeter than I thought it would be.
It's not terrible.
No.
No.
I don't get a whole lot of burn on it. as far as the alcohol burn, as at least as much as I thought I was going to get. But it's just not like a like a whole lot of flavor to it. It's just like
I get basic. I get just loads of vanilla.
It's like a watered down bourbon flavor. It's what you'd expect from a cheap bourbon, but it's not as harsh as other cheap bourbons I've had.
I still get like a fruitiness in it, which is
for sure
just surprising. Like this is much better than I thought it was going to be.
It helps it a lot, the fruitiness.
But yeah, caramel, vanilla, oak, and then light traces of fruit. It dries out kind of quick. The flavor goes away pretty quick. The burn hits just for a short period of time. It's really pretty good for dirt cheap.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Time's up. Let's rate this motherfucker, shall we? So,
quick note. I added a little bit of water and actually, I think, brought up a little bit more of the vanilla.
Really? Okay. I'll bite on that.
I better rinse my mouth out with some of this. What the hell is it we're drinking here, Chris?
Ah, Busch Light Apple, right?
Oh, surprisingly refreshing. Purpose? Busch Light Apple. Get yours today.
Excellent. I love you, buddy. Find now at Busch.com. Trying to add some water to it. Yeah, it's not bad. It kind of drops the apple, the orchardy notes in it, and it just kind of picks up more of the vanilla. I like the orcharded, the appley flavors better. So I would suggest
the water.
Yeah, I think without water would be better for this one. Without the aqua additions.
So I'm going to go just ahead and I'll start this out, and I'm going to give this a perfect score of average. 3. Yeah, it's
2.5 is actually in the middle.
Oh yeah, we're doing 5.
Yeah,
I was looking at the beer when I rated it. Okay, 2.5.
All right,
and just for that, actually, I'm going to go a little below. No, I'm not. 2.5. Nailed it. Perfect answer, Chris. Thanks, Chris.
So that would make it, in your opinion, the
benchmark of bourbons.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, you got one of these today. Hold on, I'll go get it. It's right find here.
It. There it is.
That's you get a point. First point of the day.
I'm going to bring my own bell next time.
All right.
Ding. I'm going to go 2.75 on that.
2.75?
Just because I do like it a little bit better than other super cheap bourbons, and I think it would work in cocktails like a highball better. So I don't know if that's fair to add that to my rating.
Yeah, it's your rating.
2.5 if we're talking neat, 2.75 because it's a little better for cocktails.
Your body, your laws, man.
Perfect. Love it.
Nice.
One thing I wanted to bring up here, though, on the Buffalo Trace website there, they do say that there's some leather notes mingling with dry tobacco, touch of oak, and some dry cherries. I do get some leather notes and some tobacco. While saying that, I'm going to probably go a 2.75 as well.
Yeah! I'm giving it a 2.75 thrice.
Thrice? Also. It's called thrice.
All right, so the average for the benchmark, Old Number 8 brand, is 2.6875.
Just average.
309.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that.
All right, and the last one before we go to our advertising break is going to be Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey Single Barrel Select from Bottle Barn Edition 8. It's a 45% ABV. The ancient paths of countless buffalo led America westward.
Oh my God, he's going to read the whole thing.
Legendary explorers. gives you fuckers time to get your notes ready, okay?
You nailed it.
All right, I got one of those. They get point number two for you. All right, so ancient paths of countless buffalo led America westward. Legendary explorers, pioneers, and settlers alike followed these trails known as traces. Through rugged wildernesses, to new lands, new adventures, and newfound freedom. One such trace, called the Great Buffalo Trace, crossed the Kentucky River at a spot just north of present-day Frankfort. Frankfort? Early pioneers settled here in 1775, and with plentiful pure limestone water and rich river bottom loam, I don't know what that word is.
Rich river bottom girls? Is that a Queen tune? Yeah. I love Queen.
For growing exceptional grains, distillation quickly followed. With an unparalleled reputation for creating outstanding bourbon whiskey, the Buffalo Trace Distillery today stands as one of America's oldest distilling sites. The Bold Heritage, the Mighty Buffalo. Well, if we don't, fuck that. No need to learn that.
Say Bald Heritage?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Ernie's family now?
Hey. Fuck boy.
Fuck boy is right. Don't you ever forget. All right.
Again.
What y'all getting on this one?
At first, like vanilla. And I'm like, oh, geez, I'm not getting hardly any burn. And then kind of the burn shows up there a little bit. But I got to get my nose right up in there into the glass.
There's a, yeah.
It says vanilla, mint, and molasses, huh?
Now I can't get past that burn.
So one thing I did notice about this one versus the normal one that's not the barrel select that I have here, it's a lot sweeter and more vanilla in this one, in my opinion. Some toffee, a little bit more toffee on this one. The nose is great on this. I like the nose. And this is only $23.99 when I bought it. Over at Bottle Barn on Veterans Boulevard in West Fargo.
I wonder if they have the Busch Light Apple there too.
You know, because of how good that Busch Light Apple is on a hot day like today, I bet you they would.
That stuff sells fast.
It's the only time they have it is when it's hot out.
I don't fucking know.
Come on.
Thermometer outside. When it gets to here, we can sell the Busch Light Apple.
Yeah. That's insane.
Right?
Yeah.
And so with heat dome fast approaching, it's going to get even hotter.
I don't know that we're, or that I'm getting any of that molasses anyway, but I get, toffee and caramel.
Yeah.
Oak, that's one of my favorite. Sure. There's some like spiciness to it.
I don't get any mint in this single barrel select version. Like it says on the tasting notes on the website.
Yeah, that brown sugar, dark fruit. Those are the two things that jump to me the most.
Yeah. And the palate is really nice on this one.
Yeah, for being 45%, that's not too bad as far as the burn goes.
Just a calm sweetness. Maybe you get a little mint when you taste it. Not in the flavor, but like the warming aspect, the numbingness of a mint on your tongue.
Yep.
I don't get a lot of mint flavor, but I get a feeling.
Like when you eat a Klondike bar and then you take a deep breath in.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I do.
All right, I do get dark fruit and toffee, and that's what I like about this the most.
Yep,
and a lot more vanilla than the other one. That's not a single barrel.
Yeah, it's loads better than Benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Really? Fine.
Okay, now I know.
I
just took another drink, so now I know.
Much better.
And this is cheap.
$24.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great entry-level bourbon because it's
doesn't suck.
Not offensive, not harsh, it's an easy sipper. Mm-hmm. It's got good depth of flavor. It's great in cocktails.
Yeah, you can use this in cocktails without feeling guilty about it at all.
It makes a great whiskey sour. And by it, I mean me. I make a great fucking whiskey sour.
Yeah, I like my old fashions.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I got old fashioned. I got some simple syrup with some mint in it as well. That really brings it out.
For me, Buffalo Trace, I prefer in something that has different flavors. It tries to pull different flavors. An old fashioned is sweetening up a bourbon, right? So I prefer to make old fashions with rye or something that has a little bit darker, deeper character to it because you're already sweetening something up. Sometimes Buffalo Trace is a little too sweet, or some of those bourbons are a little too sweet for old fashions.
Okay.
So personal opinion. Mm-hmm. That's why I typically will use a bourbon like that with like the whiskey sour, because you're pulling out different flavors. You got the sweet and the sour balance more.
Makes perfect sense.
Anyway, that's my 12 cents. Yeah, I paid extra.
It is no better with water. I didn't.
Yeah,
I think I liked it less with water.
I'm not even going to try it with water.
I typically don't like to add things or water to it unless it's over 100 proof.
Excuse me.
It's already watered down enough.
Yeah, you pussy. Is what he meant to say. Let me translate for Nick. You fucking loser, Ernie. Quit watering down your garbage. Just kidding.
Excellent. Well, you know what? I'm going to start this one off. I'm going to give this one a 3.5 out of 5. I mean, part of that, I probably added extra quarter just because the price point and the availability. I like that a lot.
Right,
Ernie,
on.
Ernie, what do you think?
3. Chris?
3.25.
And I'm going to go with Chris at 3.25.
Look at this. Crushing.
All right. Well, that makes the average for the Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon single barrel at 3.25.
That sounds about right to me.
I think that's pretty fair.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
It feels right.
And I like it. And I'm going to continue to buy this stuff, even when I got plenty of bourbon sitting over here on our shelves, because it's...
It's just a staple to have. Yeah. I've got five or six bourbons that I will always have.
Yep. And I like that they have so many different stores do single barrel picks of it. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get something a little bit different with each while keeping similar flavor profiles at that really nice $24, $25 price range.
Yep, you're going to get the better version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is... Yeah, buy store picks, man.
Yep.
Unless the people that work at that store are fucking idiots. You know?
Don't buy store picks from crappy stores.
Right?
Tell you who are not idiots are the folks over at Bridgeview Liquors over in Moorhead, Minnesota.
Yep, correct.
Can't disagree with that.
Nope. So why don't we talk about them in our ads, and we'll be right back after this.
Ooh. Segway. Brews, Booze, and Reviews would like to thank our sponsors at Bridgeview Liquors. Head on out to Bridgeview Liquors. They just started doing their events again, their cocktail classes, their whiskey education stuff every Saturday. I'm excited to hit up some of those events, maybe learn something about what I'm talking about. They also have one of the best beer selections in town. Check out their Facebook page every Friday for the new inventory. Also, they have an ever-expanding whiskey selection, which I'm very excited about. I've seen some new things coming through there that I haven't seen previously. So kudos, Bridgeview Liquors. Also, this just in. If you mention Brews, Booze, and Reviews, you get 10% off your purchase. Not just something that we've highlighted, not just on one of your items. It's your entire purchase, 10% off. Just mention the podcast at the time of checkout. So anyway, thanks again, Bridgeview Liquors. Check them out, bridgeviewliquors.com, or head to their Facebook page at Bridgeview Liquors.
Brews, Booze, and Reviews is sponsored in part by FargoUnderground.com, your one-stop online experience dedicated solely for those who work, live, and play in the beautiful and historic district of the Twin Cities of Fargo, North Dakota, and Moorhead, Minnesota. One of those ways that FargoUnderground.com is great is their food truck locator. Located when you hover over the food tab, you can click on that tab and it will bring you to a screen that has the full schedule of participating food truck vendors in the FM area. All times subject to change. When you click on the full schedule tab, you can search by date and location on where you can find the food truck in that area. It also features food trucks that are on location the day you are currently checking by default. So stop by FargoUnderground.com and check out their food truck locator today for all your favorite fast food grub. Once again, that's FargoUnderground.com.
All right, well, play with the settings all you want, Knox.
Yeah.
When you get in my guts, you care a little bit.
That's right, true.
We're back from our ad break. Thanks for listening to our ads. And our next... another Bush latte.
Hold on. That's the next bourbon. I had one with the plastic cap.
I'll take a sixer of that bourbon.
I think we've ended the screw top versus the cork debate, and it is now a can. All of them.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty soon, be bourbon in a bag.
it's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Hey, they have just... boxes now. Like wine, you can get whiskey.
They have boxes of whiskey.
Yeah, it's apparently shit.
Slap a bladder.
Yeah.
I like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they put their wine into cans. Like
Diet Coke
I'm a very demonstrative drinker. I move around a lot, and that's why I don't spill. Anyway, great idea. Good job.
All right, so Eagle Rare Bourbon Whiskey is masterfully crafted and carefully aged for no less than 10 years. Every barrel is discriminately selected to offer consistent flavor, but with a seemingly individual personality. Eagle Rare is a bourbon that lives up to its name with its lofty, distinctive taste experience.
So the next bourbon we're doing, you're saying, is the single barrel, 10 years, Eagle Rare.
Correct.
Correct.
True this story.
This one's only $34.99. when we purchased this. And this particular bottle happens to be a single barrel select as well from Happy Harry's in Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo!
Barreled 127 of 10 and selected 421 of 20.
Oh, the day after.
You don't say, Sonny.
We're not waiting any longer. I still have cotton mouth.
Now, I remember getting a bottle of this and not knowing what it was before we really got into doing the podcast. And I got to say, I wasn't too impressed. I actually didn't like it at all.
I'm on the flip side. This is the bourbon that got me into bourbon.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this shit was too hot. But then again, this isn't the single barrel select that I had. It's a regular bottle. But I thought it was too hot. Too much spice, I thought, personally.
So it wasn't this variant.
No, but
okay.
Still. But,
okay.
When you see Eagle Rare now, you just take that into your head.
So yeah. Eagle Rare is going to always taste similar to itself, but they are single barrels, so there are going to be some minute differences.
Are all of them single barrels?
I think so.
I mean, this one is.
Oh, they're probably small batch, maybe. Well, wait, what does it fucking say?
It didn't say anything about batches or barrels. Every barrel is discriminately selected to offer consistent flavor, but with a seemingly individual.
Says it right there.
It's a little vague.
So, hey, language. So
it's
a mix.
It blends. It's blended, right? Blended with all those single barrels? Okay. Because they have to take the barrels that they like for specifically, oh, we're going to use this barrel for Eagle Rare, and they go to the next one. Oh, we're going to use this one for the E.H. Taylor.
Right.
And, oh, we're going to use this barrel because of the flavor profile for the Stag.
Does it say on the bottle if it's single barrel or if it's small batch?
It says single barrel 10 years.
Yeah, so it's a single barrel. And then, like, because E.H. Taylor, you can get single barrel or small batch.
Right.
Right? But so they're still going to have mostly the same flavors, just one's going to be a little more enhanced and a little bit better, probably. All right, well, let's drink this shit. And smell it, and then drink it some more. Or maybe the other way around. Maybe smell, drink, smell.
Order doesn't
drink.
Matter.
I'd like to ask a question.
Well, so far, this happens. If I may ask
a stupid question?
Yes.
Sure.
Again, does letting it sit and breathe really do anything?
Okay.
Or is it one of those things like, oh, I don't want the neck pour.
Ready neck pour debate? So, yeah, anytime oxygen's added, right?
I think that's different.
That's way different than neck pour. But yes.
I know. I'm
opening up. It should open up a little bit, you know.
So the neck pour, you're talking about a controlled environment. That's supposedly, if the cork is doing its job, it's not changing.
Correct.
But here, you're opening it to whatever environment you're in. I mean, I'd assume if you let this sit outside in the snow when it's 20 below versus 100 degrees outside, it's going to taste different after 10 minutes.
Yep. Or if you leave it out for 3 days, don't drink it.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be good.
Why is that?
Why would you? You got a whole fucking bottle.
Because I passed out with this much in my Glencairn glass, and I woke up in the morning, I'm like, it looks kind of good.
Was it?
3 mornings later?
Half as much evaporated.
I don't know about that. I don't know how much it'll evaporate. But this is a Glencairn type glass, right?
Yep. Let's go ahead and drink.
Yep. Well, smell? I asked the question because when I first poured it into my glass and I smelled it, I got a lot more burn than the
heat
single barrel. The last one we just had.
The Buffalo Trace.
The Buffalo Trace. Yep. But then as it sat for a few minutes, and now I smell it again, I don't get as much burn.
I think it's fair to say that it definitely changes. I mean, I've been part of tastings where they pour them and they let them sit for a bit.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's just like wine.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit of oxygen is going to help open them up, help take away some of that alcohol kind of escape out of the glass. You should get more of the flavors.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm a fucking expert.
Something.
I'm certifiable.
So one thing I do got to notice.
This is brown sugar.
The appearance is darker than the other whiskeys we've had so far. And that, I'm going to assume, comes with the 10
age.
Years yep. in the barrel. Yep. Get a lot more oak on this one for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
Caramel and vanilla. Creme brulee.
To me, it's nice brown sugar.
Yeah. A mellow brown sugar, you are. Yep. I would agree with that. Is there any orange peel, herbs, honey, leather, or oak? I mean, oak, obviously. On the nose?
I don't know. If you read it, there is. But I maybe get some light orange.
I wouldn't say orange peel. I would say more like Gugan. Ever smelled that shit?
No.
Citrusy, yeah.
Yeah.
With the citrus cleaning.
Like orange pledge.
Like oily citrus. Yep. So that's what I get.
Yep.
There's just vastly more going on between this and the Buffalo Trace.
I get allspice in the nose, too.
So we're still getting some of those same characteristics, though, right?
Yep.
Yep.
A little orchardy, but not too much. How about the flavor, guys? What do you get in the flavor?
I get some flavored heat right away.
That was what canned heat used to be called.
Right.
Yeah. Back in the day.
And then when you said orange peel, I didn't get a whole lot of that on the aroma, but I get a little bit of that pith, the white part of the orange.
Mike Tyson getting mad. I'm pithed.
Right.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And then wood. And then at the end, I'm getting something, I don't know, maybe that orchard fruit, almost like a little bit of, and then a little bit of burnt brown sugar, just slightly caramelized maybe.
Yeah.
At the very end.
This is
it dries out.
I remember when you had that other bottle of Eagle Rare. Cause
I remembered.
I tried it when, over here one time, and I wasn't really huge into, I drank a lot. But I wasn't, I didn't know as much about bourbon as I thought I probably did. Because when I tried it, I was only drinking certain ones that I really liked, and I hadn't really branched out a lot. I knew a bunch of history and all that. But I was like, Eagle Rare, it's, you know, it's okay. And now I like it a lot more. It's definitely and that I'd pay $40 for it. It's a good... It's a good, clean, fun bourbon with a lot of depth to it, you know, and so at the price, it's great.
Yeah.
And I do get a little nuttiness.
Yeah.
To it.
It definitely feels like a sweet ending, at least right when you swallow it, and then it fades off into that richer oak leather flavor. Oh,
darker, yeah.
Sweet. It's,
Boundaries, damn it.
I feel like it puts you in a chair, right? It wants you to sit in something leather. Yeah,
leather chair.
let's read a
fancy bookshelf.
Let's read some books or listen to a sonata. Yeah.
And the previous owner of that old leather chair smoked cigars.
Oh, fuck. That guy was great.
Absolutely.
So you got a little bit of that tobacco on that leather. Reminds me of the 60s.
Yeah, this is a pleasant. I got more leather on that taste. It changes in your mouth a little bit. That's what, to me, that's what makes a whiskey fantastic, is if you can drink a glass or two and get different notes throughout the experience. That makes it a lot more
fun. To me, that's crazy. It's like, well, first I tried this, then I tried it again. It's like, oh, damn it. Then I got to add more notes to my notes. And then you try it again a little later, and it's like, shit. We're like beer. Oh, yeah, this tastes like watered down apple juice. Yep.
Like honey roasted almonds. A little bit of an aftertaste, right?
Yeah. So should we hang up some numbers on this bitch?
I will say this. I think my palate has progressed quite a bit.
Yeah.
So this is not as hot and ridiculously.
Yeah, I used to just think anything over like a 6-year bourbon to me was like, oh, it's just like wood. It just tastes like wood and it's hot and it burns my mouth. I was kind of a bitch. Not no more.
Why did you say that in the past tense, by the way?
Because I used to be a bitch. Now I've moved on.
Queen bitch?
Queen bitch.
I know punk bitch.
All right.
I would agree though. When I first tried
Ernie gets to start.
When I first tried this, it was hot years ago, but I liked that. It was like pushing me a little bit. I felt like it was pushing my boundaries in bourbon. So that's why, and now I drink it. I'm like, okay, this is not that aggressive anymore. It's easy drinking. It's nice. I'm used to it. And I still really like it though.
Yep. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've grown to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So Ernie, you wanted to start off the numbers?
Sure. 3.5.
Chris.
I'm going to go 3.75. I lied to you. 3.5. Got to do it.
3.75.
I'll do the 3.5.
Nostalgia might be fitting.
Right? Well,
just a bit. I was like, this has kind of been it's what got me into it. So
that's why, that's how it plays, Yep. Some things hold a special piece of your heart.
Let's get to the calculations then. Done.
So the average for Eagle Rare single barrel is 3.5625.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. I can live with that.
Stepping up a bit to a different part of the rickhouse.
Figured it.
And that figuring out is going to be the E.H. Taylor single barrel.
So there's a whole big line of Taylors, right? You know, like there's an Eagle Rare. We had the regular one. The average is 17. So there's some different ones. But Taylor has a single barrel, a small batch, a rye version, which is a different mash bill. I think there's a couple other things in, but in mash bill one as well, though.
There's a few crazy ones that are
doors very slightly hard to find. Ajar. <there's> like a
and it just keeps dinging at you.
No, there was a
tornado surviving E.H. Taylor. Warehouse C ripped the warehouse or ripped the roof off. And they're like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. And then apparently it was good, and now people are spending thousands of dollars on it.
There was a April Fool's joke that they're releasing the Colonel Taylor's door slightly ajar.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, there was a flood one too. That was dipped in the survivor. Bottom with blue.
Yeah,
it was waxed on the bottom with blue wax.
Yeah, that was fucking funny. Good joke one too.
Yeah, because there was a flood of the river that almost got up to the distillery. So, like, they're going to release a flood surviving E.H. Taylor.
Yeah, no, one was somebody didn't get the door shut all the way and just like the door would jam up. So, they just left it slightly open. So, yeah.
And the amount of flavors that come with the ever present expanding and contraction of the barrels was much more increased because of that open air concept. That
airflow.
Just ridiculous.
All right, so getting to this E.H. Taylor single barrel.
Now,
Colonel Edmund Haynes Taylor Jr. is widely considered one of the founding fathers of the bourbon industry. Fighting for the Bottle to Bond Act of 1897, nearly three decades after he purchased what is now called Buffalo Trace Distillery. During his time, Taylor implemented several innovative methods still used today, including climate-controlled aging warehouses.
And constant tasting of barrels.
Mm-hmm. Many of the barrels selected for the E.H. Taylor Jr. single barrel were aged in Warehouse C, which was built by Taylor in 1881 and proven to be an excellent aging warehouse. Each barrel is hand-picked and bottled in bond at 100 proof to honor its namesake. So E.H. Taylor's got the small batch, single barrel, barrel-proof, straight rye, old-fashioned sour mash, Warehouse C, tomato surviving, and cured oak, seasoned wood, four-grained amaranth, which I really want to try.
I love that band.
The 18-year marriage.
Viking band.
Yeah.
And the Warehouse C bourbon, which is different from the Warehouse C tornado surviving.
Yeah. And, yeah. So.
Dried figs and butterscotch.
A lot of E.H. Taylors are going to be mash bill one, but there are a few of them that are different mash bills as well. But certainly the one we're doing today, mash bill one. Yep. So let's talk again.
Okay. So this one's a little bit darker than the Eagle Rare 10, even. That makes any sense?
I get maybe some of that butterscotch, but I wrote down first I get like oak and then more of that leather aroma at the end, but not super sweet.
Yeah.
But I don't get as much burn on the aroma.
This one's more tobacco, leather, darker characteristics, right? Not as bright or something. I guess I struggle with
it's
words.
Dumb.
I get butterscotch, but not like the bad butterscotch, the good butterscotch.
There's some sweetness to it, but this is more... like it
restrained. Maybe?
It feels like it would be a different mash bill because it feels like it's higher rye than the other ones.
Right.
But
and it's 50% ABV.
There's maybe some real light dark cherry in the very back of this.
To the point where I think it's red velvet cake esque. Okay.
I don't get that sweet.
I get much more of butterscotch and dried fruit than like a cake sugar.
Well, I guess I'll just go fuck myself then.
Well, no one else is gonna.
Sounds like the right answer.
But yeah, I do get some red fruit in there for sure. Mm. Now, in the taste?
This is good.
What? Taste is fruity. Yeah.
Did you just say like good?
Deep,
good.
Dark.
Is that your fruits. Tasting notes?
That's my tasting notes.
So, first impression. Yum, yum.
Now, this bottle was purchased by Ernie over at Spirit Shop over by Cash Wise on 13th Avenue in Fargo. For those who
care,
don't think that the small liquor stores don't get shit. These guys get some shit. Hi, Ronnie.
Who's Ronnie? He said
fruit. Right up the front.
He's fruit? Ronnie fruit?
Ronnie's fruit.
Ronnie's fruit.
I get right away, he's like very silky on the tongue. It's like it's got some body to it. It's just very silky. And then I actually get more vanilla on the taste than I do on the aroma. And then it kind of leads into that kind of butterscotch.
Yeah.
Maybe a little molasses or something mixed in with that wood.
Butterscotch, dark fruits. are super present, but not overwhelming at all. They're certainly there, and they ride on the backbone of this fucker. This is really good.
This is really good.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Yeah, this is actually one of the better, I'd say, top five bourbons I've had in the past 6 months. That it's got that really good.
You get light fruit taste right on the side of your tongue too, and then there's like caramel and tobacco that keep the sun out. Like it's a canopy over those that fruit that you get. This is fucking delicious.
Fuck, yeah. I could drink this neat all night.
Yeah, I'm not even going to add water to it.
No, yeah,
I'm not even going to try either.
Sorry, listeners, I know you were expecting.
Look at how adult you're getting. I know. Like, I'm going to drink this alcohol without being a bitch about it. Nick, quit saying shit like that to Ernie. You just met.
I know. Chris's mom, cover your ears.
Sorry about that.
Fuck you, Chris.
And the crowd goes wild.
Shake up a can of this Busch Light apple and spray it all over you.
Ooh. Girl, now we talking.
God, this is really good. I just can't believe how much I like this. Jesus. Now you know we're having fun.
Head to the mountains.
So this should have this is a 94 rating on this whiskey.
Out of 200?
Out of 100.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, what's the scale? 111?
It's got gold medals, 2020, and San Francisco World Spirits Competition and World Whiskeys Awards. A lot of awards this particular bourbon has won. And fuck, you know what? Me. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say this is probably at least a 4.5 out of 5 for me.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Final answer.
I want to fucking drink this all day long.
This is good.
Good luck driving home tonight. We've got a whole bottle.
So what do you think, Big Earn?
I'm actually going to give it a 4.5 as well. It's really good.
Jump on that 4.5.
Wait your turn.
Yeah, Jesus fucking God.
It's counterclockwise, Nick. Come on.
Sorry, I'm new. I don't know this.
Figured it out.
Chris.
This is a motherfucker.
I know, right? Because now we got the Stag Junior coming up next. I still got to take a picture of this for the podcast.
This is absolutely one of the favorite things I've ever drank from bourbon. Yeah. I've got some that I've tried that we haven't done on the show that I know are better.
Is this your first time trying this one?
So I've had a couple of small batches, which are really good, but this single barrel happens to be way better than those small batches even.
Oh, it's miles above.
Yeah, this is a 4.5.
Kind of makes you wonder how the Amaranth or the 18-year marriage would taste, huh?
And since it's my turn now, I will go 4.5. I'll do better on the next one.
It's all right, Nick. Yeah. You're good to go.
We have to make fun of you somehow, right?
Hey, so what's the average of that bigger?
And I figure this out, and
this is going to be a tough one.
It's complex.
And numbers added.
I carry the one.
Over numbers.
The average for Colonel E.H. Taylor's single barrel, bottled in bond, is 4.50, folks.
Wow, you got some great math skills. You didn't even use the calculator that time.
Actually, I kind of did.
He's like, my gut says 4.5. Like
Chris is going to say something that's 4.5. 4.5.
My gut says 4.5, but what do the real numbers say?
I would almost feel comfortable giving that a 4.75 too if I had to, but I just feel,
yeah, gun to your head, right?
Right.
All right.
So what's
now
next?
This one's going to be significantly hotter. I think this one's like 63% or 56.
65.55.
Dude, what was the fuck? Okay. The White Dog was what? 62.5%? So this somehow got 3% more alcohol in it after sitting in the barrel? How the fuck does that happen?
Well, evaporation.
Water evaporates.
Water soaks into the wood, so it automatically increases the ABV. And then...
Well, look at how much we're fucking learning today. We learned sour mash. We learned the difference between bourbon and straight bourbon. We're killing it on the education point today. That's why we have an educator with us today.
Yeah, 65.55% alcohol, 131.1 proof.
This one you might want to add water later.
All right, so let's learn about Stag Jr. from the Buffalo Trace Distillery website here. It says George T. Stag built the most dominant American distillery in the 19th
century. And does everybody know what T stands for?
Theodore?
Edgar. You were close. Continue.
On a scale of 1 to 10, as far as funniness, that was a mediocre.
That was a great joke.
That's a joke from 1930-something. I stole that from Groucho Marx.
Excellent. All right. So, George Edgar
T.
built the most dominant American distillery in the 19th century during a time known as the Gilded Age of Bourbon. Uncut and unfiltered, this robust bourbon whiskey ages for nearly a decade and boasts the bold character that is reminiscent of the man himself.
You know, for 65.55%, it does not smell.
A bit over 60.
Right. And like it can't retire fully yet.
Right. It still
but it'll get some benefits.
Still says, welcome to Walmart.
He's still got the AARP card.
Now, Chris.
What can ARP do for you?
You and I have tried this before.
We have.
And
we actually yelled at Mr. Nick Hornbacher on the internet about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was,
I want to preface by saying I never said I didn't like it.
No, I know.
It's fantastic.
I just like being confrontational.
And I'm okay with that.
So what we were talking about back then when we tried this first in the neck pour was that there's a lot of cherry bark in this one.
Yeah.
Some darker chocolates and cherry notes. Dark cherry bark. Cherry bark is different than cherries.
See, to me, here.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of vanilla on this.
You have to take some time to get past the alcohol. Try the French smell. Go from low to high.
Mm-hmm.
Do side to side. Get around. Like the Beach Boys. Get around,
won't
round,
you
round.
Turn
get
me.
Around. Fuck, what the fuck are you? Anyway.
Run around.
But once you get past that ethanol.
Instead of the Beach Boys, it'd be the Fuck Boys.
Well, our harmonies are
on point. He's going to totally give himself a ding for that.
Of course I am. All right.
But I do get, like, you get these darker leather notes, but you also get, I get real dark cherry again, and
I get worn leather and honey as well. Holy shit, that taste is, like, hot, spicy.
First thing that comes to me is the honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing. Once you get past the ethanol, first thing is the honey.
I get some of that
by fruit.
Mm-hmm. I get some of that silkiness right away, like the first quarter of a second, and then it goes to burn. Then I get some sort of honey, like you were saying, yeah. Nick, and then more burn.
It's a lot of finishes, burn. It's hot.
It finishes in dark cherries and cherry bark, though.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
And a little bit of cinnamon.
Yeah,
like red hot cinnamon, not like the cinnamon stick cinnamon.
Like my high school date.
And it tingles. Right, so I don't know if that's just alcohol, if that's the cinnamon, or if there's a mint playing a factor in it. But
ooh, that's hot. Oh. Yep, that is hot.
This is all up in your Bisquick.
It numbs your mouth, kind of like that flour we ate at that one fucking place.
510.2.
Yeah. Oh my god.
510.2 is one of the coolest fucking places I've ever been to.
Did you guys finally get in?
Once you find
a spot. Okay.
Did it
take a minute?
It took about 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, it was not too bad.
We knew the one word, right? So we were able to figure it out. Like
pineapple.
Well, no, it was fun to get. It's fun to get up a flight of stairs and then there's a landing with no door. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? So I was like,
yep.
I remember that word they told me. Then we open that up, and then it's weird to see.
There's a guy sitting there.
510.2 is a speakeasy in Bismarck, and yeah, so you actually
second floor.
You find the hidden door.
Yep.
And then there's a guy just sitting in a little tiny room all by himself, carding you, and then he slides open another door, and he's like, "We got three. Can we serve three?" And they're like, "Yeah." And then we bellied up to the bar and had some great cocktails.
Oh my god,
cocktails are fantastic.
It was insane.
I've never seen anybody use nitrous before. To freeze things and then muddle them.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Makes the fucking mint muddling turn into powder.
Yeah, muddling.
It was awesome.
He muddled mint into powder because they had freeze dried it.
That's
instantly
really
right
there.
Was
that for a Mojito?
No, I don't know what the fuck he was making offhand, but.
Mojito?
We had a one drink called the Just One, I think.
I had the one and done. Yeah, I heard that because it has the highest legal amount of lettuce opium or opiate that you can add to something and you're only allowed one of those drinks a day.
Yeah, heavily sedative. Did it make you tired?
No, but I shared it with you fuckers. So yeah, well, I wasn't...
your talking made me tired, so it feel like it worked.
Jesus Christ, here you go. All right.
But the other thing that we had, I don't remember what it was called, but it had a buzz flower or something.
Yep. It's the smallest of little flowers. Yeah. Just like a little weed.
It was tiny, tiny, tiny. And so you take the drink and kind of, you know, as we do, smell and taste and figure it out. And then you eat this flower that numbed your mouth. For me, it was very like, it was very bitter sour.
Bitter, I agree, yeah.
Bitter tart, something like that. It made my mouth water so much, I felt like if I spoke at that moment, I was just going to spit on people.
You kept saying, my mouth can't stop watering.
Yeah, dude, it was like, turn off the faucet! but then you drink that drink again, and it was a new beverage after you eat that flower. It was a really cool, very cool experience, and I highly suggest going to 510.2 in Bismarck.
It's a great place.
Yeah, my mouth didn't water so much, but it felt like the pins and needles after your limb starts to wake up from falling asleep. It's like, oh my god, and that was a good 15 minutes at least.
Yeah, and. Even if you don't want to go there, and you should absolutely go there for a great
there's
cocktail.
There's that flower right there, that buzz button.
Yeah.
They call it a buzz button. I'm trying to find the recipe.
Like, the head of the flower itself was smaller than your pinky fingernail. You know, it was tiny.
I thought you were going to say penis.
Smaller than my penis. No way. No way. I'm at least
Your penis is much smaller
than
that flower.
I'm at least dandelion thick. But
before it blooms or after?
A little more on topic with 510. One thing that they do that's really cool is they do, during the winter at least, they did this last year. I don't know if it's a normal thing. Every Thursday or every few weeks or something, they got a new bottle of really rare allocated bourbon. And we're talking like Old Forester Birthday Bourbon.
Oh.
Like really? Van Winkle 15, Eagle Rare 17. And they would open it on a Thursday, like a open party, starting at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then for that night, they do half off the pours.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it,
really I mean, cool. Leave now. No.
So you can be back in Bismarck in time to get this shit for us.
No, that's awesome. I didn't know that. What I was going to bring
up. They advertise it on Facebook too, which really surprised me. So they would actually post the bottle that they're drinking that night.
Really?
It's really cool.
Because what I was going to bring up, if you don't want to go there and just have one of their amazingly crafted cocktails, they have some harder to find. You know, they had the Eagle Rare 17, and they had, I think they had Van Winkle Lot B.
Yep. That was Thomas and Moriarty, right?
They had Van Winkle B.
No, 510.2 also did on the shelf. But yes, Thomas and Moriarty's was fucking cool as well.
Two best whiskey selections.
Both great places to stop when you're in Bismarck if you dig whiskey.
Yep.
Okay, so the one I had was the one and done, and they use lettuce opium. It's a legal sedative.
Like, let us? Like, is there a space between it? Let us have opium?
Yes.
Let us.
Like, let us beat you in the face with a baseball bat.
And then we had the buzzworthy.
It's called a buzz button, which is what I thought. So it's got rum, pear, honey, lemon, passion fruit, buzz button.
And it's if you're lucky, you'll hit her buzz button. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
No, we love him. We love him. Change that sounder.
I'm going to jump across this table and hit you and your buzz button.
Yeah. Let's cock punch.
All right. So getting back to this, Stag Jr., guys.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. All right. I fucking forgot what episode we're on.
we're right around 140.
Let's talk more about this Busch Light apple.
Tastes like cherry bark. Oh, wait.
Vanilla in this has really opened up to me the more I've had it after a few sips.
Yep. You let it breathe a little bit in the glass.
Yeah.
Yep. It comes off as much sweeter. Still, it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot.
Not getting over that. Yep. Not at that proof.
I won't let it go.
Add a little bit of water. It kind of brings that hotness down to, you know, a 8.
Do you remember what you paid for this, Chris or Nick? Because you brought
it
one
was
as well.
50 to 60, maybe 65.
I found it about 65.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like it was that range.
And I believe we bought Ernie bought the Colonel E.H. Taylor single barrel for $84, if I remember correctly.
Probably something like that.
And you just told me to go get it.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's get through this stag, rate it, and then we're going to talk about
the
allocation.
The whole shebang, yep.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to
allocation and prices and Finger fuckery.
I'm going to rate this Stag Junior a 4 out of 5.
You're done talking about it?
Yeah. Wow. You guys can talk more if you
want. Well, I just added water, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you're not done. Follow the rules.
I just added a couple drops of water. He's one and done. Makes it more approachable for sure.
Yep.
Brings up a little more oak. The vanilla becomes richer. There's some fruits in there hiding.
Yeah, I do get more of that.
The nose sucks. Go. I'm sorry. I interrupted you earlier. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I should have seen you were making a face. You were going to say something.
Oh, the adding water just makes the nose way hotter. Really? I don't know why. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. It's like, I know. It's the exact opposite of what it should be.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's hotter on the nose, but it's easier on the palate.
On the palate.
I noticed that on the when we did the Irish, some of the Irish whiskeys, when you added water, it actually made it hotter.
I think what you're feeling is just more oak comes through.
Maybe. On the palate, it's the palate is less hot. On the nose, it's stronger. See, it makes that shit goes right up your nose.
But. So I don't know that it makes it hotter, because it can't. Literally.
Well, I know, but I can't explain it. But the nose just it's more burning with the
more
water.
Oak. I think that's what you're. I think you're.
I'm just telling you what I think.
I think you're associating heat with the wood.
Possibly.
Listen to me now.
Oh, God.
Why would I start now?
Because I said it with claps.
How many syllables?
How many syllables?
Fuck you.
You missed
quarter and note and eighth note.
I love music class in elementary school. Anyways, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, that I kind of already said my piece.
Any other notes?
Yeah,
I think Junior.
Yes. Fuck. I think you do get more oak off the nose. But I also think that it opens up some of the deeper, darker fruits. I think it brings them a little more forward, and it pushes the vanilla and caramel things backwards. Right?
Yeah, and I'll say this. This is the first time I've had batch 15. I had a bottle of batch 6 that I finished off a few weeks ago. And it wasn't something I necessarily went to every single time. So it's not like a daily drinker by any means, because it's hot. It's aggressive. But when I was in the mood for it, it's good.
That was the go-to?
Yep.
All right.
And how much was this again?
On the flavor.
65 if you find it.
On the flavor, I think you get a little darker chocolate as well when you add a little bit of water.
Baker's chocolate?
Dark, yeah. Deep, bitter chocolate, dark fruit. I think this is really fucking exceptional, especially with a little bit of water added to it.
It's very good.
I think Knox said like cherry bark, and that's kind of what I get.
He did say cherry bark. I think you said cherry bark like 16 times.
Cherry bark, 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 bark.
That's enough.
Cherry bomb.
Anyway. Yeah, so Knox gave it a 4. Ernie, you give it a 4, too?
Are you still giving it a 4?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to give it, 4. Chris?
I really like it. I think I like the Taylor better, though. But it's very, very, very close. So I think I'll have to still give it 4.5. What's my number?
5? 2.5?
4.5.
So you think this is just as good as the E.H.
No,
Taylor?
No, I think the Taylor is shut the fuck up and let me number. Yes, I tied them because I don't know that it's a full quarter point worse.
All right.
I like them for different reasons. I think the Taylor is more approachable and an easier sipper. Probably the Stag would be great if you had a big ball of ice. So it's a little cooler. But I don't want to water it down a lot. I do like high fucking proof shit. Mm-hmm. But if it was a little cooler and a little bit diluted, I think it would be, suck on that, fuck boys. Does that make sense?
Absolutely not.
No,
I'm moving on. Nick.
I think they're very, good.
I'm going to go with a 4.25. I agree that it is very good. This is a very good bourbon. I do agree with Chris that the E.H. Taylor is more approachable. 4.25.
13% alcohol is a lot.
difference.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Yep.
That's why, you know,
that ice cube could make the difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the big ball idea.
You like the big balls, yeah.
I like big balls, but I cannot lie. Wait, what?
It's close. Yep.
But you know what I'm saying? I think it would clean
Chris
up.
Got big balls.
I think it would clean up a little more on a big ball of ice because, yeah, colder will mute some of the ethanol. A little bit of dilution, not a lot of dilution, again, is going to mute some of that ethanol, that alcohol stuff, yep, and bring up more of the flavor in that. And the flavor in this is freaking fantastic. But hot. Feeling hot, hot, yeah, hot.
It's hot.
These are one of the ones that I'd only be able to have like one pour of because I'm starting to get a little bit of that
acid
esophageal burn.
Acid reflexes.
All right. What's the final score there, big guy?
Well, a side note, I changed my score to 4.25.
Yeah. Okay.
From a four.
That's my
boy. So the average is for the Stag Junior barrel proof. Unfiltered is 4.25.
That's easy math.
I think it's respectable.
Yeah.
Very.
So what did we learn
today? So the winner of the day is the Colonel E.H. Taylor single barrel bottled in bond at 4.50 out of 5.
I thought it was really cool to see that sweetness carry through on all of these, right? With that.
They all had like a different amount of dried fruit, like dried red fruit,
right?
Whether it was hidden, it was up front, whether it was on the nose, whether it was on the first sip, it was all there.
Every one of them had that corn sweetness that we got, yep, from the White Dog. And I what was surprising to me was that we did get that fruit off the White Dog without aging, without putting it in a barrel. We got something different. I didn't expect that. I literally thought when we drank that White Dog we were gonna get corn sweetness, hot, hot heat, which the Stag like to carry over. Holy fuck. Yes. So that's what surprised me. But yeah, you had those same notes running through them. It's just how present were they? And then, you know, how did they balance with each other? I've been waiting to do this mash bill one. We'll call it study.
You've been fucking bugging me about this for like a long
time. I've been wanting to
do
it for months.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much once we got a bottle of E.H. Taylor and a bottle of Stag Junior, I was like,
we're doing
this. We finally have enough things to do this. Let's do it. And it still took like 2 months to get you to fucking move on it. Anyway.
That's because we had so much things ahead of us. I'm fucking into October, you dick.
Now.
All right.
Anyway. So I've been wanting to do this forever. So it's been a really good time doing it. I learned more than I thought I would by doing this episode as well. And I had a great time. So anyway.
And it was great having you, Nick.
Thank you guys
all
for being here, except Knox. I think Knox can fuck off.
I didn't sign up for this shit.
All right, Don.
I wish this table was smaller so I could flip it. I'm weak.
Do we want to talk allocation?
Yeah, so let's go allocations now. So I think the hardest of all these to find would be the Colonel E.H. Taylor single barrel.
Stag Junior.
Stag Junior.
It's a toss-up, I think, between the two. They're both.
Stag Junior is released twice a year.
Yep.
Yep.
Two batches a year.
Usually a year.
Late spring and late fall.
Right? Yep.
Ish.
Yeah, they do a spring and a fall release.
And so, you guys both had the spring 2021 release, right?
Yeah.
It was the fall.
Fall 2020. 2020.
Okay.
It was batch 15. Batch 16, I think, is just hitting stores now, so maybe it's early
at least
summer.
Here.
Yeah.
I think it was released
a
month ago.
In North Dakota. Yeah.
we get things so fucking late here. Except for winter, we get early. Summer, we get super late.
Yep. Super late.
But yeah, so I mean, these are literally the only Nick was nice enough to bring his bottle of Stag, but we drank mine because, you know, go home happy and go home full.
There you go.
But these are the only two bottles of Stag I've ever seen in person. E.H. Taylor, this is the first time I've seen the single barrel, but you've got I've had two.
Yeah, you got the two small batches. I had Ernie go pick up the single barrel, and that was all we've had so far for the single.
I've seen three bottles of Taylor, and I have seen two bottles of Stag. So I'm going to say Stag's harder to find.
That's fair to say, because I've
on
seen Taylor on the shelf.
Have you?
In Bismarck, there's a couple stores that have had it out on the shelf.
I have not.
It goes real fast.
It's sad.
It goes really quickly.
Fargo's bigger than Bismarck, and we get less allocated shit. It's
no,
sucks.
I'm pretty sure that
probably depends on how the stores handle it.
The stores probably have a lot of it, and they save a lot of it for the allocation September that we had last year, right?
Yeah, but I can't buy all of them.
Right. In November, like on Black Friday, there's a lot of stores in Bismarck that do, you get one bottle.
Yep.
And a lot of the stores save it. Some of them just put it out and it's first come, first serve. Some of them you have to get to know the managers, which kind of sucks, but it's a game you have to play.
Yeah. What do you do with that?
Like when Chris talks to a guy and says, hey, what's in the back? What do you got in the back there, buddy?
I think the biggest lesson is that it never hurts to ask.
Yep. Yeah.
Like I'll give you a good example. I was at a store in Bismarck and I was just buying a cheaper bottle of rum. And I asked, hey, you got any Weller in the back? And she thought no. Then she called the manager and like, yep, we've got one and we'll sell it to you. It was a 107. So you just got to ask if you want it.
That's what happened to me. Somebody posted on that North Dakota bourbon page that you are the admin of. And they said there's some allocated stuff, which was Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, McKenna 10-year, and 1792 Bottled and Bond.
I got the Michter's barrel stringed off of that, too.
What was nice is I walked in, I went, so what's your limit? They said none. So I bought them all. Mm-hmm. I bought all 7 bottles. You know, and then...
But they're all going to get drank. You're not going to sell a single one of them.
I actually gave away a bottle of the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof to a friend of mine, Sarah Boonstoppel.
Yep. She's been on the podcast we went on before. Yep.
And then McKenna 10, I gave a bottle to Tori.
Ah.
Cousin Tori.
Had to get one. Regular guest on the podcast.
So yeah, had to give some gifts. And then, of course, I got a couple. Because, again, I asked, what's in the back? And they brought out a bottle of Elmer T. Lee. And then also knowing people, we found another bottle of Elmer T. Lee. Never seen these fucking things on the shelf. So yeah.
Ever.
If
now
you're
we
looking
have two.
To find good bourbons and good whiskeys, go get to know the people that run the place.
Yep. Let's be friendly with people. Talk to people. When you go in, buy stuff. Don't just be the person that walks in and they're like, hey, you got Blanton's? They say no and you walk out. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get to know the place. Frequent a place.
Yeah, we got offered a bottle of Orphan Barrel Muckety Muck Scotch. It's $260, but I can't afford it. And Chris usually is the Scotch guy, and he's like, I just bought $500 worth of bourbon, so nope, I'm good. Higher? How much did you spend that day?
2 days.
2 days.
I don't know if Kaylee is listening, so I don't know what to say.
Next month's mortgage payment.
Well, here, I'll tell you what I bought. You guys run the numbers. 3 bottles of Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, 3 bottles of Henry McKenna 10,
55,
a bottle of 1792 Bottled and Bond, a bottle of Glenmorangie Signet,
250,
2 bottles of Elmer T. Lee, and 2 bottles of Antique 107.
Antique 107 was, I think, 50.
850. 850 to 900.
But I don't know how much. How much
okay,
is the
so
Elmer
the total
Lee?
Is, the total, I kept track because I have a calculator. The total is
boobless.
If you turn,
it says boobs. It had to go there.
I got you, Joe.
Fuck you. Again, I'm sorry, Chris's mother.
All right, that was a good one.
I'm guessing close to 900.
We'll talk about it offline.
Okay. Yeah. Once we stop.
So here's what I got to say about the whole allocated bullshit. Stop secondary marketing shit, people.
Yes.
I mean, that you're contributing to the problem that's wrong with capitalism these days. You know, buy a bottle for the MSRP of the Elmer T. Lee, which was how much?
45 to 60.
Yep.
Don't pay $250 for it.
And then you're selling it for 5 times as much. Fuck you.
You're ripping other fucking lovers of bourbon off.
The people that are worse are the ones who pay that for it.
Yeah.
Because then that says that there's the demand for it. Mm.
Quit creating demand. Just buy stuff that's on the shelf, and eventually this shit will be less sought after, and it'll be back on the shelves like it's supposed to be.
Yep.
Figure it out.
Too many people with disposable incomes that like bourbon, apparently, all of a sudden.
Ruining it for the rest
rich
of us.
Rich people that don't, and you know what? I bet rich people don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
No.
But he heard it here, you fucking dinks.
I mean, you know what we're talking about either.
It's... I'm aggressive, like I've been drinking 6 whiskeys today.
All right. So, hey, we want to give a special shout out to the liquor stores that we promote today. Obviously, Bridgeview Liquors. We got a couple barrels, bottles from there.
Happy Harry's Happy on 45th. Harry's,
Bottle Barn on Bottle Veterans Barn on Boulevard.
Veterans in West Fargo. That's it.
Spirit Shop over there on 13th Avenue where we got the E.H. Taylor. We want to thank those stores, all four of them, especially our sponsor, Bijou Liquor, for sponsoring this episode.
Shop local and drink aggressive.
And Nick, Mr. Nick Hornbacher, where can people get a hold of you if they wanted to find out more about what you're drinking? You have an Instagram, any social medias, anything?
As a teacher, I don't post much publicly.
His Instagram is mostly North Dakota landscape.
My Instagram is my photography portfolio. Okay. I'm a hobby photographer on the side, so at Nick Hornbacher is the Instagram. And then if you want to join in the bourbon community, it's North Dakota Bourbon Drinkers on Facebook. So join in that, share with your bourbon drinking friends, and let's build a better community.
And really piss them off by posting bottles of scotch.
Hey, I'm the one that I want to change the name, but I failed in the vote. I wanted to open up to scotch and to rye.
I voted for North Dakota Whiskey Drinkers.
It's North Dakota. We don't have that many people. We have to try to outreach the most possible.
Yeah. No, but narrow
the majority
it down.
Was no bourbon only. I'm like, what the hell?
North Dakota Bush Light Drinkers.
Right.
Well, actually, that would probably take off.
Well, somebody because,
you know why? 550,000 members. Royal.
This no, Bush Light fucking apple is cooler.
It's not bad, actually. I hate to say it, but it's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
All right, Chris, where can people get a hold of you, or you got anything to promote?
You can watch me sleep at Squiggly Giglio on TikTok.
What is it again?
Squiggly Giglio on TikTok. My girlfriend sometimes records me sleep talking. And you think I'm funny now? Hear me when I'm sleeping. No, so, we don't think you're funny now. Fuck you. Go piss yourself.
Yeah, he already jumped ahead of you.
Anyway.
So that's what I was thinking.
Check that out. Also, the only other things I really do with my life is here drinking. So check us out. And if you're just new listeners, check out our Patreon page and get extra content. We do extra content, extra drunk.
Yes, yeah, it can be ridiculous, but it can be ridiculously fun.
Stop it there.
It's excellent.
Nope. My tagline was better.
So I had the privilege of sharing a room with Chris when we were in Bismarck.
That's a true story.
And, you know, after work, we were a little, you know, intoxicated. And work. I swear to God, somewhere in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I hear Chris saying some stuff. And I'm like, I'm kind of a light sleeper. Being a parent, I'm so used to like hearing a noise. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go to the hospital.
Someone's dying.
Yeah. So I'm like, I wake up and I look over there at Chris and I'm like, what? And he's I'm like, I feel like I should call Keely.
We need to capture this.
Record him. I don't know what. And then you just kind of stop breathing there for a while, and then I went back to sleep.
Yeah, I have bad whatever it is you call it.
Apnea?
Sleep apnea.
I fucking quit breathing for days at a time when I'm sleeping.
Damn it. You're still here. All right. He's unkillable, folks. He's unkillable.
My superpower is rapid healing. That's why I never have hangovers.
Ernie, where can they find you at?
Well, actually, next week I will be at Moondance Jam in Walker, Minnesota.
Come fuck with me.
So I will be gone. So in my presence, I do have a replica of me that my daughter Natasha actually drew and colored in. So while I'm gone for your whatever the episode is next week, I can put this right here in my spot. And people won't miss me so much.
We're going to get a shot after the Instagram today.
Wait, here.
And it's totally my doppelganger. It looks just like me.
Except that the...
Look at me.
There's more hair.
Yeah, there's more hair on
the... There, we even got a say in the background. What a day.
But after this, it'll be across the street.
Excellent. We want to thank our sponsors supporting our show, and we want to thank you, our listeners, without whom this podcast couldn't happen. And to you, we say,
May your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers!
This has been a Predica Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. Follow us on all social medias at Brews, Booze, and Reviews. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. We have merch for sale and additional content available on Patreon. New content coming always, because it's fun to come always.